Blog Talk Radio.
Nah, no vacancy. Last time see you on FaceTime, setting up the place, boating on my relationship. Me, I go put you on lockdown. I put your body on lockdown. You got me on lock now. You got my person on lock. Oh, if you love me, you should let me. You should let me. You should let me. No, and if you don't know, better feel let me. Better feel let me. I better you let me go.
Pulling up, pulling up, pulling up.
Nobody deal with the bugger and talking. Me nothing now, we are chilling at apartment. Hope you don't mind me asking. Where will we go? When the quarantine thing done and everybody touch proud. Mommy, me gonna start, pull up in a fast car, yeah. I know fast car, make you want the fast car, yeah. I know you're feeling me. You know I'm feeling you. So what now we for do, yeah.
Say you want trouble. We go whole valley. Say you're hoping your love and not just no tally. Make my heart full of time and love you totally. Do my own thing, I'm in a trouble nobody.
I'm watching out from the patio. And this is the neighbor, them watch me now. Swing on me, no miss like Pacquiao. What you feeling for hot coffee, yo? What you know, what you know. All you want up, but how much you money, yeah. Anything you want, coffee, got the money, yeah. Me give you my heart, make you take it from.
Baby, are you feeling me? Cause I'm really feeling you. I'ma pull up in my fast car.
Pull up in my fast car. You feeling me? They're rock stars.
Big touch and I love.
Peace to the gods, peace to the gods. We live. It's Knowledgeable Sundays. Also, we got J-Rock about to be here in a minute, but I know he's dealing with a little bit of business right now, so hopefully everybody's day is going beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And peaceful. Beautiful and peaceful. So today we're going to be talking about affidavits and, you know, the importance of the affidavit. You know how we always do, we always go and try to break it down, try to simplify it, so you know you guys can actually use these things. And if you want to learn how to create affidavits, you can also do your own research, or we can also help you to make sure that you get the results that you started, like, that you're seeking. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go into the private chat. Let's go. And I'm going to search up the definition of affidavit first. And that's the etymology. I always like to start with the origin. Let's click that. Okay, it says affidavit. Now, written declaration upon an oath. 1590s, from medieval Latin, affidavit. Literally, he has stated on oath. Third person singular, perfective of affidare, to trust, and to make an oath. From Latin, ad, to, see ad, fidere, to trust, from fetus, faithful, from pie root, fed, to trust, confide, persuade, so-called from being the first word of sworn statements. Now scroll down a little bit, you know, to the basic form of what an affidavit is. This is the definition of affidavit. Affidavit, noun, written declaration made under oath and a written statement sworn to be true before someone legally authorized to administer an oath. And to clear it up just now, just in case anybody didn't catch exactly what the affidavit is, it's a written declaration made under oath. You know, and it's before, like, someone legally authorized, normally like a notary public, they can pretty much do affidavits. And one of the good things about having not an affidavit, but a notary who's like real close to you, is they'll help you in every situation. Like, a lot of situations when you're dealing with the laws and stuff like that, and, you know, dealing with public servants, it's so much places that I have been, honestly, and they was like, man, I can't sign that. I can't do that because I don't know what that is. Because they don't have any knowledge of it, they can turn down and be like, I'm not about to sign that. Then I could go ahead and you know, do a lawsuit or on them, or, you know, enforce it. You can always enforce it, but I have enforced it and showed them the definition of certain affidavits that I did put in, you know, and showed them it was perfectly legal. And I got it done, but it's like going through the trouble every time doing that. And I didn't want to go through trouble doing that every time. So, you know, just got someone real close to me, helped them become a notary, and everything goes smooth. So I definitely think if you're getting into certain things like this, because you're always going to need a notary, bro. Especially when you're dealing with, like, paperwork and you want stuff to be seen and notarized, you're definitely going to be dealing with a lot of notaries. So key point, get a notary on your side. Get someone close to you. Have them become a notary. And everything will be smooth sailing. All right. Let's go to another definition. All right. Of affidavit real quick. So this one is from Cornell, the Law Cornell. Or Cornell Law School. And it says, affidavit, a voluntarily sworn declaration of written facts. Affidavits are commonly used to present evidence in court. And it says, see example, and Edenfield versus Fane, 507 U.S. 761, 1993. And it says, see category, courts and procedure. All right. So affidavit is voluntary. It's a sworn declaration as well of written facts. You know, so affidavit is facts. And I know if you heard on the previous show, we were talking about unrebutted affidavits. And if nobody actually rebuts an affidavit, then it is seen as truth in law. Like, it's seen as facts. The reason why it's seen as, like, facts and truth automatically, if it's not rebutted, is because it's acquiescence. It's a thing called acquiescence. Acquiescence is your silence, basically, is your agreement. So by you being silent, you agree to it. The same thing that third-party debt collectors do on you when they send out the three letters, or maybe just one. They try to attempt to contact you. You never answer. You never respond. So you fell into acquiescence, and you, by your silence, you agree, and they validate the debt that way. Which doesn't mean you can't go back and, you know, fight it. But you definitely want to rebut everything that's not facts every time. All right, let's go to affidavit, right? Let's go to affidavit in Wikipedia. Let's try to go more in detail about this. And it says, an affidavit, medieval Latin for he has declared under oath, is a written statement voluntarily made by an affiant or deponent under an oath or affirmation which is administered by a person who is authorized to do so by law. So it says a written statement voluntarily by an affiant or deponent. Let's go ahead. Let's get deeper into it. Let's see what is an affiant. Just quick little definition. Let me see. Okay, it just says affiant, a person who swears to an affidavit. Quick definition. And let's see. Well, it says a deponent. And when I click deponent, it says a deposition in the law of the United States or examination for discovery in the law of Canada involves the taking of sworn out of court oral testimony of a witness that may be reduced to a written transcript for later use in a court or for discovery purposes. Dispositions are commonly used in litigation in the United States and Canada. They are almost always conducted outside court by the lawyers themselves with no judge present to supervise the examination. So, and it says, see, let's go back to say so y'all can see what I was saying. Is a written statement voluntarily made by an affiant. We know a affiant is just someone who swears, who writes a sworn declaration under the affidavit. And now it says, or deponent, which I click deponent, and when I click deponent, it said deposition law. And basically in the deposition law, they use this for examination, for discovery. But it's not done inside the court of law, but it's also done by attorneys and witnesses, right? Which we know a notary is a witness. So you gotta watch out for these public servants, i.e. lawyers, attorneys, you know, officers of the court. You gotta watch out for them because these guys are using affidavits, bro. And you're not rebutting the affidavits. That's the thing. And you're showing up to the courtroom and maybe you have put in your paperwork too and you have your affidavit as well. But who put in the affidavit first? Majority of the times, they put in the affidavit first. Because a lot of times we don't be the ones on the plaintiff's side. We be the defendants a lot. So, yeah, just be careful of that because lawyers be doing that. Officers of the court be doing that. That's like the tactic right there. And it's easy. That's like the easy pitfall. But anyway, let's go ahead and go back to the other page, previous page. And it says, such a statement is witnessed as to the authenticity of the affiant's signature by a taker of oaths, such as a notary public or commissioner of oaths. An affidavit is a type of verified statement or showing, or in other words, it contains a verification, which means that it is made under oath. Under oath on penalty of perjury. And this serves as evidence for its veracity and is required in court proceedings. So this affidavit is like required, bro. Like this is kind of like required into court proceedings. So if you ever do like, even if it's traffic court, simple as traffic court, you know, you want to rebut affidavits. One of the affidavits that they do put out there, you just got to look at the affidavit as facts. So what facts did they put in? So now you got to go to the clerk and see exactly what they got before, and this is before your court date. You want to see exactly what they got on record, just to see what they seen, because you just can't go walk in the court like we stated a little while ago. See what they saying, then you want to rebut everything line by line. Every single offense, every single fact that they are saying, you want to state out the out what they were saying, and then you say, I rebut. And we're going to do a show on rebuttals as well to do a form to see how to do a formal in-depth rebuttal. We'll have a show on that as well. But yeah, let's go ahead and go back to the reading. And it says, all right. Yeah, and it says, definition, an affidavit is typically defined as a written declaration or statement that is sworn or affirmed before a person who has authority to administer an oath. And like they said above, it could be a commissioner of an oath or it could be a notary public. And they say or, It doesn't say and. It don't have to be two. It could be or. So normally you have a notary public. We'll also try to do a show up on the notary publics too, so you know exactly their position and their role in all of this. All right. There is no general defined form for an affidavit, although for some proceedings, an affidavit must satisfy legal or statutory requirements in order to be considered. So they don't have a definite way to do an affidavit. They have a few elements that it have to have, like, you know, the commencement and the signatures and stuff like that. Like, it has to have the notary seal and all of that. But as far as like the format is, like, to a T, they really don't have a real specific formation. But in some cases, they say in some cases, in proceedings, they do if statutory laws requires. And it says, an affidavit may include a commencement which identifies the affiant, an attestation clause, usually a jurat, at the end certifying that the affiant made the statement under oath on the specified date. Signatures of the affiant and person who administered the oath. All right. So we're gonna go into that jurat here in a second, because I feel like we should actually know what a jurat is, because it says an attestation clause, right? Usually a jurat. So a jurat is normally at the end certifying that the affiant made the statement under oath on a specified date. So you can use that jurat. You can use that jurat to tell on a certain date that you sent, maybe send something. You can use that jurat like, it's evidence, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can use the evidence because it's dated. Try to see how I can explain it. You know how you send those certain mails to, like, damn collectors or anybody, and the juror witnessed it on this date. You know, it's already turned into a legal document because now it's an affidavit of fact, right? So you can actually use that affidavit of fact to, as a notary presentment in a way. You know what I'm saying? To say that, hey, I sent it out this day. Well, you can use it along with a certified mail copy. I would say, yeah, those two would have to go together to show, like, you definitely mailed it out. But I feel like this, like, a notary with the certified mail is definitely, like, platinum, that someone else got it. Especially if you know that you're going to go to court. And when you're doing certain things, like, you always want to, when you're doing letters, let me don't say certain things, when you're doing letters and you're writing letters, anybody in mail, man, you always want to act like it's court already, like court is already starting, like, so always having your head from you do your first response, don't just respond right away, you know. Do your research. Figure out, like, how can I respond? Who are these people? How are they violating you? You know, all of these things, and put it in there, because and keep a scanned copy. Keep a scanned copy, the certified mail, and have it notarized, because he's just evidence, like we read above. And the thing is, what you're doing is you're building evidence. Always keep building evidence, bro. That's so vital. Because when you go in there, it's like, you don't want to be standing on a thing what they call heresy. Like, come on. Heresy against evidence, the court will pick evidence every time against heresy, every time. So build up your evidence. And it says, the signatures of the affiant and person who administered the oath. That's what an affidavit may include. So let's go over that real quick again. An affidavit may include a commencement which identifies the affiant. That's one. Two, an attestation clause, usually a jurat, at the end certifying that the affiant made the statement under oath on the specified date. And number three, signatures of the affiant and person who administered the oath. In some cases, an introductory clause called a preamble is added, attesting that the affiant personally appeared before the authenticating authority. An affidavit may also recite that the statement it records was made under penalty of perjury. An affidavit that is prepared for use within the context of litigation may also include a caption that identifies the venue and parties to the relevant judicial proceedings. So, if you already have like an open case, it got to be open. Well, I wouldn't say it has to be open, but normally, like usually it has to be a case that is already like started. An affidavit has to be like prepared in the context that it shows the litigation and the parties. It identifies the parties and the venues relevant to the judicial proceedings. All right, and let me just click this other tab at the bottom of here. It says worldwide. Let's go. You got a lot of different other worlds, you know, not worlds, but different countries like India, Australia, so forth. But let's go to the United States. And it says affidavit. Oh, they have an affidavit signed by Harriet Tubman. That's what they have there. Huh. So Harriet Tubman did an affidavit. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to have to check that out a little deeper. But anyway, in American jurisprudence, under the rules for heresy, like I talked about heresy. Yeah, guys, that's in the chat. Yeah. Yes, sir, that's in the chat. But in American jurisprudence, under the rules for hearsay, and let's click hearsay before we even move further, let's click hearsay. Because I was just talking about hearsay, so we're going to go over that real quick. Hearsay is a testimony from a witness under oath who is reciting an oath of court statement that is being offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted. The federal rules of evidence prohibits introducing hearsay statements during applicable federal court proceedings unless one of nearly 30 exemptions or exceptions applies. The federal rules of evidence define hearsay as a statement that, number one, the declarant does not make while testifying at the current trial or hearing. And number two, a party offers in evidence to prove the truth of the matter asserted in the statement. The declarant is the person who makes the oath of court statement. Too far into it, but it also, it clearly evidently says that is like they prohibit it. The federal rules of evidence prohibit introduction of hearsay statements. So when you're dealing with evidence, don't try hearsay. That's not the way. So always come in with certified evidence, authentic evidence. All right, let's go back to the previous page. In American jurisprudence, under the rules for hearsay, admission of an unsupported affidavit as evidence is unusual, especially if the find is not available for cross-examination. With regard to material facts which may be dispositive of the matter at bar. Okay, let's go ahead and click cross-examination real quick. In law, cross-examination is the interrogation of a witness called by one's opponent. It is preceded by direct examination in Ireland, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, South Africa, India, and Pakistan, known as examination in chief, and may be followed by redirects. Re-examination in Ireland, England, Scotland, Australia, Canada, South Africa, India, Hong Kong, and Pakistan. Redirect examination performed by the attorney or pro se individual who performed the direct examination clarifies the witness testimony provided during cross-examination, including any subject matter raised during cross-examination but not discussed during direct examination. Recross examination addresses the witness testimony discussed in redirect by the opponent. Depending on the judge's discretion, opponents are allowed multiple opportunities to redirect and recross examine witness. May vary by jurisdiction. All right, so they talking about cross-examination here. They got the redirect examination, and they got the recross examination, and it may vary through different jurisdiction. But let's go back to why we had to go through the cross-examination. It says admission of an unsupported affidavit as evidence is unusual, especially if the find is not available for cross-examination. So the find, who is the find? The find is the one who wrote the affidavit. Remember? So if the find is not available for cross-examination, And sometimes the fine isn't, like most of the time the fine really isn't available for cross-examination. That's why attorneys speak on their behalf and they have to get all this paperwork done because they're speaking on behalf of the witness, but they have to do affidavits, you know, so they can be seen as a representative for this fine in the absence of this fine. But we have a solution for that to where we can put in a document that basically don't let attorneys speak on behalf of witnesses because they wasn't there. They don't have any firsthand knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So that could be seen as hearsay too. So we can knock that out with a certain case that we have. Case law. But it says, especially if the find is not available for cross-examination with regard to material facts which may be dispositive of the matter at bar. So it could be disposed. It could be thrown out. And you got to remember, like, attorneys, officer of the court, judges, officer of the court, so they're working against you or whatever. But in some cases, you know what I'm saying? In majority of the cases, they are. So you gotta You gotta play your cards right. So you wanna make sure you have a supported affidavit. Even though you know you're gonna be showing up and stuff like that. If you're doing something, always support the affidavit. How do I mean by support the affidavit? All right, you got the affidavit right up, right? Remember when I was, okay, for an example, on something I previously talked about inside this show was that I send out a mail, like certifying that I actually send out a mail a certain time. If I was to say, all right, the affidavit states this the date, and I didn't have the certified mail saying where exactly I sent it to, who was who name, and all the different exhibits. If I don't have those exhibits to go along with the affidavit, on the bar discretion, they could dispose it. If I don't have this affidavit supported by exhibits. So you have to have exhibits along with your affidavit to support it. That's how I would move personally. And it says affidavits from persons who are dead or otherwise incapacitated or who cannot be located or made to appear may be accepted by the court, but usually only in the presence of corroborating evidence. So, dead, incapacitated. The reason why lawyers can speak on your behalf and you can't speak for you majority of the times is because they see you as incapacitated. Sometimes dead too, but I'm just gonna keep it as incapacitated. You don't have the, they don't look at you having the capacity to speak for yourself, even though you do. But if you go a little deeper in your research and stuff, you'll find that out. For time's sake, I won't really like go into it on this show. It said usually only in the presence of corroborating evidence may be accepted by the court. So what is corroborating evidence? Corroborating evidence, also referred to as corroboration, is a type of evidence in law. Okay, God, for sure. All right, so corroboration, and let me spell that out for you guys so you can check it up yourself. It's C-O-R-R-O-B-O-R-A-T-I-N-G, evidence. That was C-O-R-R-O-B-O-R-A-T-I-N-G, evidence. Also referred to as corroboration, is a type of evidence in law. All right. Let's see what type of corroboration. Types and uses. I just want to go over it like real quick. Types and uses. Corroborating evidence tends to support a proposition that is already supported by some initial evidence, therefore confirming the proposition. For example, W, a witness, testifies that she saw X drive his automobile into a green car. Meanwhile, Y, another witness, testifies that when he examined X's car later that day, he noticed green paint on its fender. There can also be corroborating evidence related to certain sources, such as what makes an author think a certain way due to evidence that was supplied supplied by witnesses or objects. Okay, so corroborating evidence is more like if exhibits, right? Not even only, yeah, exhibits. Exhibits and evidence are coming from like different witnesses or different objects that leads up to the initial evidence, right? The very first evidence that you put in there. All right, so let's go back to when I did the, let's say, the mailing. Let's go back to that story again. Let's stay on track with that. So I send out a mail, right? Let's say I had a friend with me when I went to go send out the mail. And the notary signed it, right? All right, I got that exhibit, which is the affidavit. Also, I got another exhibit from the USPS or the post office, right? You go to the post office, what they're going to do, if they're going to type it up in their system, their virtual system, like me trace virtually, and they're going to say, yeah, he did send it out. So that's two witnesses, right? That's corroborating evidence alone, just that. Now, let's say the third part come in, right, from UPS again. Not UPS, I apologize. The Postal Service, right? The Postal Service, they went ahead and sent me a green slip receipt certifying that they got it and they signed. So I have three corroborating evidence in one. You can't go against that. That's three. All I need is three. Oh, this would be three. The island be coming out of me. All I need is three. And that should set you up for the corroborating evidence. To be honest, it's self-explanatory. I'm not going to go too deep into corroborating evidence. But yeah. And I would build my evidence up like, I would use corroborating evidence every time if I can, too. Every single time. And it says, an affidavit which reflected a better grasp of the facts close in time to the actual events may be used to refresh a witness recollection. Materials used to refresh recollection are admissible as evidence. If the affiant is a party in the case, the affiant's opponent may be successful in having the affidavit admitted as evidence. A statement by a party opponent are admissible through an exception to the hearsay rule. Let me read that one more time. If the affiant is a party in the case, the affiant opponent may be successful in having the affidavit admitted as evidence. A statement by a party or it says opponent are admissible through an exception to the hearsay rule. Party in the case. Yeah, I gotta read that one more time. I'm still trying to like recollect so I can break it down so you guys can understand. Y'all probably understand it too, but me, I don't get it, even though I read it like twice just now. If the affiant is a party in the case, the affiant opponent may be successful in having the affidavit admitted as evidence. Okay, if the affiant, which is the one who created the affidavit, is the opponent, if the affiant who made the affidavit, pretty much, is a party in the case, the affiant's opponent, which is defendant, whichever position, which is the affiant opponent, whoever your opponent is, may be successful in having the affidavit admitted as evidence, acknowledged as evidence, as statement by a party opponent are admissible through an exception to the hearsay law. Okay. Yeah, so that's just basically saying, like, if you're there fine and you're the party, the affidavit would be admitted. They would recognize and acknowledge your affidavit. The opponent, your opponent will have to acknowledge that affidavit. It's admitted. You know what I'm saying? It's an exception to the hearsay rule as well. So it's the affidavit word against their hearsay. You know what I'm saying? If they don't have any facts to go against it and they didn't rebut it, pretty much. But we're at the 30-minute mark, a little past the 30-minute mark, and, you know, we're going to go on a little short break and come back and finish talking about the affidavits and going to the jurat as well. So there's a short break.
Yup. If one more label try to stop me, it's going to be some dreadhead niggas in your lobby. Never sweet out. My shooters come for free, so if one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some dread niggas in your lobby. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. Yup, yup.
I lay down, told ya, hold up, get too trucked up and I think for old stuff. Move on, put my goons on, they kidnap newborns. In the streets, my face a coupon, her pussy too warm. All these bitches come to do harm, just bought a new charm. Fuck a watch, I buy your new arm, you lukewarm. I'm Uncle Luke with the hoes, pretty bitches centerfold. Sipping tools around my crib in they rows, just they rolls. Half a million in the safe, another in the pillowcase. Codeine got me moving slower than a caterpillar race. What wrong with you, what you were thinking, what you thought it was? I just pop out Percocets and only caught a buzz. And if that label try to stop me, they gon' be some crazy Weezy fans waiting on the lobby. No life baby.
You don't want no problem, want no problem with me. You don't want no problem, want no problem with me. Just another day at the pickup on the mail. They gon' channel riding through the street, they be like they go.
Back, peace of the God. Hey, we on the affidavits. If everybody just tuning in right now, we still talking about affidavits. Going in depth to see the powers that is held in these affidavits. Very powerful tool when dealing with litigations and mitigations. Definitely. Let me see. Oh, yeah. I feel like we can run through all the rest of this because this is vital. All right, so let's continue. And it says, affidavits are typically included in the response to interrogatories. It's a response to interrogatories. Let's see what interrogatory is. And I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but say how I see it. In law, interrogatories, also known as a request for further information, are a formal set of written questions propounded by one litigant and required to be answered by an adversary in order to clarify matters of fact and help to determine in advance what facts will be presented at any trial in the case. Okay? Yeah. So, interrogatory is a request for further information. All right, let's continue. Let's go back to the other page and continue. Requests for admissions under federal rule of Civil Procedure 36, however, are not required to be sworn. It says not required to be sworn, so get it sworn. Be on top of the game. It's not required, still do it. I would still do it. When a person signs an affidavit, that person is eligible to take the stand at a trial or evidentiary hearing. One party may wish to summon the affiant to verify the contents of the affidavit, while the other party may want to cross-examine the affiant about the affidavit. Some types of motions will not be accepted by the court unless accompanied by an independent sworn statement or other evidence in support of the need for the motion. Right. In such a case, a court will accept an affidavit from the filing attorney in support of the motion, as certain assumptions are made, to wit, the affidavit in place of sworn testimony promotes judicial economy. The lawyer is an officer of the court. So let me repeat that again. The lawyer is an officer of the court and knows that a false swearing by them, if found, could be grounds for a severe penalty up to and including disbarment, because they're under the bar. The Bar Association. And they say it's the officer of the court. So their initial job is to be officer of the court. So judge, officer of the court, teammates. So your interest is not the initial interest. Your interest is not the initial interest. The initial interest that the lawyers have is to be the officer of the court first. That's their job, to be the officer of the court first. Then attend to you. And a lot of times it's not in your best interest when they go with the court first. Most of the times. So you definitely gotta learn how to move without a lawyer. That's what I would say. Yeah, but the lawyer, if called upon, would be able to present independent and more detailed evidence to prove the facts set forth in his affidavit. Remember when we said we have like a paperwork that can actually, you know, knock the case out, especially if the witness, the person who's doing the litigation, isn't there, but a lawyer is in the place of, in lieu of, he can get them out of there. Because, bro, you're swearing is like hearsay. You wasn't there. And they know they could get in trouble for swearing, like it said above. So we can get that out of there. The acceptance of an affidavit by one society does not confirm its acceptance as a legal document in other jurisdictions. Equally, the acceptance that a lawyer is an officer of the court for swearing the affidavit is not a given. This matter is addressed by the use of the apostille, a means of certifying the legalization of a document for international use under the terms of the 1961 Hague Convention abolishing the requirement of legalization for foreign public documents. I read that when I was studying this. Documents which have been notarized by a notary public and certain other documents and then certified with a conformant apostille are accepted for legal use in all the nations that have signed the Hague Convention. Therefore, most affidavits now require to be apostille if used for cross-border issues. Right? So you want to get your affidavit apostille if you want to use it for cross-border issues, right? But only for the people who sign and who are under the 1961 Hague Convention, which that's a great amount of people who on that when I looked it up. All right, so that was affidavit, man. That was affidavit. Now I know I promised what I mentioned, not necessarily promised, but mentioned that we will go over the jurat, right? Let's go over the jurat. Is like a definition of it, because we don't have that much time in the show. Just have a little bit of time. Well, no, we do have a little bit of time. I just clicked it. So let's go to the definition, Wikipedia, real quick. I'll make it quick. Quick and fluent. All right. And it says jurat. Now. Also, jurate, one who has taken an oath. Early 15th century, mid 14th century in Anglo-French, from medieval Latin, euratus, sworn man, noun used of past participle of Latin jurare, to swear, fiat juri, meaning official memorandum at the end of an affidavit showing when and before whom it was sworn, is from 1796 from Latin juratum, noun used of the neuter past participle, right? So, and you remember the jurat goes, you know, at the end of the affidavit. And it says official memorandum. We know what official is. Let's just search what memorandum is, right? Search for memorandum real quick. And it says memorandum. Now, mid-15th century, something to be remembered. A note of something to be remembered for future reference or consideration. From Latin, memorandum, thing to be remembered, neter, singular, of memorandus, worthy of remembrance, noteworthy, grandive of memoir, to call to mind, from memoir, mindful of. So when you write that memorandum, it's like they taking notice, they draw that down, it's noteworthy. Like, don't forget, this is in the evidence. This is in the evidence. This is the facts. Don't forget. So, keep in mind. Yeah, that's the memorandum, though. That's the official memorandum at which is located at the end of the of an affidavit. You know what I'm saying? And let's say, because it says to see jury too for the jurat, right? So what is it? So what is a jury? It says jury. Set number of persons selected according to law and sworn to determine the facts and truth of a case or charge submitted to them and render a verdict. So, that right there says something deep too, you know, it determines the facts and truth of a case or charge, right? So the jurat is at the bottom, right? It's the memorandum, the official memorandum located at the bottom of the affidavit. You know, the notary public seals it. And the affiant signs it. So does the notary public sign it. You know, they put their name and they do their seal. They do their signature and then they do their seal, right? So, honestly, I kind of look at that like two, because you got to remember, right? The notary is on the behalf, you know, of the Secretary of State. They sign it on the behalf of the Secretary of State. That's the seal. And now they sign in their name. That's like two different persons in a way. But the witnesses, right? That's two witnesses. And it said set numbers of persons. It ain't really saying how many persons under this definition of the jury. That could be the jurat. So this jurat that is at the bottom of the affidavit kind of determining the facts to be true, right? Because the affidavit is the truth. So it's saying that, all right, cool, I'm witnessing all of this, you know, with this affiant saying under oath, and I'm taking this, and I'm putting this in evidence in the memorandum, and keeping this in mind, in my memory, so you guys can take note of what's going on and kind of determining the facts to be true. Like, they really determining the facts to be true. Especially when it is not rebutted. That's what I'm getting from it. So, and it also, let's see. Let's go to a different definition for Jorat, right? So I'm going to go to the Wikipedia one. And it says Jurat clause. A jurat, short for Latin juratum, EST, it has been sworn. Third singular perfect passive of jurat, to swear, is a clause at the foot of an affidavit, showing when, where, and before whom the actual oath was sworn or affirmation was made. And it says, in English and American law, a jurat is that part of an affidavit which contains the names of the parties swearing the affidavit. So, okay, see what they say. In English and American law, a jurat is that part of an affidavit which contains the names. Who names is there? It's only, remember I just told you, the names could be, I'm not saying it is, but under the jurat, remember they're using the seal to represent who? Secretary of State. Right? Official. Okay, back. I'm going to put you in. You can be on mute if you want to. But I'm just breaking down this part.
Okay.
But it, yes, sir. So let me start over so you can catch this one too. It says, in English and American law, a jurat is that part of an affidavit which contains the names of the parties swearing the affidavit. So they said the parties swearing the affidavit, right? Let's look real quick. They swearing the affidavit. Which parties is swearing the affidavit? Remember I told you the seal could be represented as the Secretary of State. That's one witness. The signature of the the name of the notary is kind of like separate, because that's a, even though, okay, the seal is the corporation, man. It's doing a corporation. It's the commission. The name is the private individual signing. That's like two witnesses. So that's two witnesses right there, right? Swearing the affidavit. That's the party swearing the affidavit. You don't necessarily put your name. I don't feel like you put your name on the draft. You let the notary do the draft part. And then it says, the actual statement that an oath or affirmation has been made, the person before whom it was sworn, the date, place, and other necessary. Okay, so you are putting your name. The person before whom it was sworn. No, that's the notary. Yeah, that's the notary. That's the notary name. The date, place, and other necessary particulars. The jurat is usually located on the bottom of a document. A typical form would be sworn to before me this date of month 2000, which is the year, with the signature of the witness, often in the Republic. The venue and sometimes other particulars. So it says, and sometimes other particulars. So sometimes, in some cases, it helps different particulars in that true rat section. And it also says the venue. And I'm thinking the venue might be like the county or the location exactly where the notary is from. Yeah, the place, the venue is the place where something happens, especially an organized event such as a concert, conference, or a sports event. Yeah, so that's definitely from the county in the state. And it says, all forms of jurats ran as juratum die corum, which then gave in English sworn this day in front of. Additionally, this term can be used for certain electronic forms, such as electronically filed tax returns in certain states, where the taxpayers attest to the truth of the information contained. In this case, in the case of an electronically filed tax return, the taxpayer has to provide certain specific information, a social security number, for example, to sign the jurat. Having done this, the electronically submitted return is considered to have the same legal effect as the taxpayer had actually and physically signed the return. Wow. So you can use an affidavit. An affidavit as a sign that you did your tax returns and stuff like that. Maybe in absence of the electronic, if you can pull up the electronic files and stuff like that, you can use your affidavit as truth. But yeah, that's really all I had with the jurat though. We had the affidavit. We went over what the affidavit actually was. Went over what the jurat was inside of the affidavit. Broke down the corroborations of evidence showing that the affidavit is a part of evidence and is required in every court litigation. Yes, sir. Peace to the God.
Peace to the God, man. Peace to the God, man. Sorry for my lateness, God. You know,
all right.
I'll be taking care of Look Calmer. You know.
All right.
Yeah, man, but man, of course I was kind of hearing it in the background, you know what I'm saying, and you brought that fire, God, real talk, man. My guy's really showing you guys really how to defend yourselves on certain levels, you know what I'm saying, because I used to have that problem even before I started, you know what I'm saying, getting more in tune with how to be able to defend myself. I needed to know this type of information to be able to actually go in and defend myself. Because you made a statement earlier, God, where you said that, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to bring in what is called hearsay evidence because that's admissible. It, you know what I'm saying? They don't even want to hear that. They want to see it.
Exactly.
What you got. What you got.
Yeah.
You know, man, I tried that once, though, you know. And guess what? It did not work. It did not work, man. I went in empty-handed. It's like going to class without your homework. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? You don't want to get caught with your pants down. So and they manhandle you too. You see what I'm saying? Because when I went in and all I was stating was codes and the Constitution and what the Constitution said and, you know, trying to get the attorney thrown off the case because we had that case law, what was it, Trancy versus Pagliaro. But me
yes,
not
sir.
Having that court case right there, you know, man, it was nothing that they wanted to hear. You know, and even the attorney asked, do you have that court case present? I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move forward. So, man, what this God is showing you is that, man, these type of documents are well needed in order to fight any case that you might have, period. Any case.
Require,
you know. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, God, you was on point, man. That was beautiful, God. You broke it down in an excellent, you know what I'm saying, excellent manner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understood,
yes, sir,
that
I appreciate
clearly.
That.
Yeah, you know. And, man, you did your thing with that, man. But, yeah, man, to all the listeners out there, you know, let's take a minute, even if you would go back in and listen, because I plan to go back in and listen to this myself, you know what I'm saying? But take note.
Take five.
Yeah, man. Take notes, God. But, yeah, man, so was that it, or you had any other things that you had to continue to finish?
Nah, I don't have anything else to say on the affidavit, really. But I know I got to link up with you after the show, though, God. I got to link up with you up on that thing you showed me earlier.
That I sent you.
Yeah.
that right there, hey, that's going to save us a lot, though. That's what I went through. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
That's who I went through, but... Yeah, man, we got to get it rolling, though, man. And,
yes, sir.
Tomorrow would be Health Tuesday, and for sure we will most definitely, you know what I'm saying, I just upgraded, so I know I should be able to, you know what I'm saying, get actually on the line tomorrow for sure without any problem. Man, God, I wish there was a way. I used to know how to get in on Google and call in with Google, but, man, for some strange reason, my computer is not, or my Google account is not allowing me to make that call, man. We're going to have to probably, you know, go back
to
try
that
out
up.
Another computer. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because if I don't have the phone, I should at least be able to do it off my computer, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
Yeah. And that's even for the listeners that's having like that issue where, you know, you have monthly plans and your plan is not allowing you to actually call in, man. It's ways to actually get online to be able to listen to the show. So.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man. That's really all I had, you know. I know we got Health Tuesday tomorrow. We're gonna try to stay on time with that one. We're gonna bring it in around 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're gonna try to make sure that we got everything on point tonight so that we can make sure we on point tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
But man, if that's it, man. Hey, peace to the gods, man. It was a great show, and man, I love that fire that you brought today, Kalam. No doubt.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. All right, then we gonna link up on Health Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods.
Funkilla. I say my baby, you know Sunday or Wednesday, you come in like on yet or when you, and if you give, I could take to you, oh, share to you, I still the thought of your case to you, I can never make a mistake to you, and if you leave, I could face to you. You don't do your booty, now your body better. I no go live and never, 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 never make a love better. Every day different palaver. The other day when I jam Natasha, just say I give all day banana.
no be me to a mo, na na na. One time for my baby, you. You know I can deal with you. Coming like on your town window. And if you keep, I could take you. Oh, check you. I still decide to get to you. I cannot come make a mistake you. And if you leave, I could pay to you. Because you be my order. I put something for your hands. You give me some another. You go be my baby mama. When I dip it from my tongue, and then they catch you cool and I just see I'm a ton. Your body make me strong, I've been in a Jackie Chan. But if you use me, shine, I'm not gonna pick you your car. So make you no good, follow me at all, at all. Say my baby, you. You know Sunday or when you coming like on your town window. And if you give, I could take you. Oh, check you. I still decide to your case to you. I can no come make a mistake you. And if you leave, I could pay to you. You be my order. I put something for your hands. You give me some another. You go be my baby mama.
Bye.